Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. I'm Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
I'm Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions.
And we are back.
Yes, it's been back. A while. I feel like I'm a grandpa now. It's like 80 years later.
The last time we sat down to do one of these was in June of 2024.
24? That long ago?
That long ago. And then we got busy.
You still look really pretty, Mike.
Oh, you look adorable.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm having to stop myself. I'm over here on the couch, but I want to climb over the desk and just share your microphone.
I'm glad you're not, because John's back with us, mixing our sound and hanging out with us.
Speaking of John, you know, everybody who remembers John remembers him with
guys.
The high-pitched voice. And turns out he's been fooling us all.
Why don't you let them hear you?
Yeah, come over to the microphone and show all those listeners what you sound like now.
Yeah, let's hear John now.
Hello, world. Hey, everybody.
Isn't that impressive? Last time it would have been, hey, everybody. It's like Mickey Mouse. But
what a disappointment. What a disappointment.
I'm not disappointed because it's really beautiful.
Have you heard him? You've heard him sing.
I have. He did it for me outside of the theater.
Phenomenal singing voice.
Into the moon.
See? Wow. He's going to be in the next show. I don't care what he says.
But we are back and finally just got the schedule coordinated so where we could both sit down and do this again.
Yeah, we're going to try things a little different. We actually have kind of a guest host that's going to kind of be on here to help kind of streamline some of your questions that you guys have for us, kind of take leadership in that so Mike and I can just kind of respond authentically. And just be a true voice to our responses with you guys. Alfonso, why don't you say what's up?
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on here. I'm honestly one of the biggest fans of this show. So I think for me I wanted to reach out and get this going. So I was like, do I have to be a part of this to get it going?
The truth is, that's how he got on, because he's one of our biggest fans. He might be our only fan.
Yeah. We've got all those people in Germany.
That's true. Germany. Yeah, we have a lot of people out.
We're like David Hasselhoff.
And I have one in Highland where my mom lives.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, can you introduce Alfonso?
Yeah, Alfonso, actually, I will. He's very talented, and I'm getting told to eat the mic more, even though my lip's touching the mic right now. It's awkward. But I'll talk to Alfonso real quick. He's really talented dude on and off the stage. He's done a lot of voiceover work. He's actually recorded voiceovers for many companies, commercials. Actually, locally, he's recorded stuff for the Redlands Bowl Centennial Celebration, but he's done a lot of commercials and other things for recording. He's graced our stage for Legendary a few times, been the Baker. He was in Adam's Family as Gomez, and there's many, many more.
Baker from Into the Woods?
Yes. Did I say it wrong?
No, you just didn't say what show.
Oh, Into the Woods. Yeah, sorry.
It wasn't the Baker and Joseph. It was Into the Woods.
Yes. It was. Did I say Joseph?
No.
Okay.
It was just the Baker
and Joseph. What were you and Joseph at the Redlands Bowl?
I was the Pharaoh.
He played the Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He also has a fabulous singing voice, really talented dude. He's also a writer. So he really said that Mike and I, through some of these, have just been encouraging to him as far as chasing your dreams, going for it. He seemed like the perfect candidate, and then he came to me. He's like, you guys need to start that back up. And I called Mike. He's like, yeah, I've been waiting for your schedule to open up, Nathan. I was like, it's open. Let's do it. So here we are. We're going to rock and roll and just kind of go with it, and we'll see how it pans out. Anything else?
Yeah, well, not just your schedule. I've been trying to get you and me and John all together in a room.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Why don't we touch on that then? Why don't you tell kind of some of the things that you've been up to kind of this last technically 2 years? What have you been up to? And then we'll touch on what we got coming up. So what have you been up to?
Well, I think, you know, where we left off on our final episode, I was doing the show Misery, and I was asking for your help on how to do the scene in the bed where the guy gets his feet shattered or hobbled, you know, with the sledgehammer, and you'd given me some ideas for that. And, it worked out pretty cool. Ended up being a really good show.
Did the audience respond really well to the way you did it?
Yes. I think it was I was really happy with it, and the fact that I think it upset my mother so much,
the uncomfortableness of it.
Watching me get tortured in the bed.
I should have went and saw it.
It was good. My mom was so upset after the show.
Wow. So it was definitely impactful.
Yeah, it was a good show. And everything, and we just have been doing my season to Play With Your Food, And
have you written any new shows since then, or produced any of the new shows that you've done?
I did. This is so long since.
I know. I'm trying to remember the last 2 years. I'm kind of worried about my answer.
Yeah. Well, no. A year ago, about a year ago last March, we debuted one, an original one called Between the Sheets, and it's kind of a slapstick comedy.
You just sent that over to me, right? That's what you emailed me?
Yeah, I sent you a copy of that.
I'll be reading that. I'll read that.
You want to check it out? It's a fun show.
Okay.
I'm curious because I just met Alfonso today. So how long have you listened to all the episodes?
I've listened to all the episodes. I know Ruby Red very well. And like
Rigby.
Rigby Red. I know them all very well. Ruby, I know Ruby Red. I know the album I listened to, actually. I did listen to that album, so I was actually really impressed by that.
There were two albums. Did you hear them both?
I listened to one. I didn't hear the second one, no. I listened to one of them.
Well, what are you doing here?
I don't know.
I'm a
terrible fan.
You're a terrible fan.
I've listened to the first one and thought it was great. I wish I could have seen the live performance.
You can't have more than one, like, number one fan. You already have a number one fan who you've had on the show before. You can't have more than number one fan. That doesn't work.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right. He could be your number two fan.
Well, he can be your number one fan.
Well, I wish I could have seen the live performance on that, but I'm legendary every day.
Did you have a?
He does live here. He's like in all the shows and helping out.
Oh, I guess we're just kind of catching up on the air. Maybe we should go with something.
No, that's good. I like that. Actually, Alfonso actually just started helping direct and do behind the scenes stuff as well. He's helping out. He's helping actually direct Fiddler on the Roof, which is actually coming up for us, but. It's kind of hard. I don't really know how to cover the last 2 years. I know we moved our location. We've been growing. We actually got the Redlands Bowl show 2 years in a row, which it's been like...
Well, that's unheard of for a place to get it for 2 years in a row. I don't remember that ever happening.
It's been like 27 years or something like that. So it was a big honor. We did Joseph last summer, and they asked us to come back and do Frozen this year. So we're super stoked about that coming up, and it's a big undertaking. We just had our callbacks last night. We had 145 people at our callbacks. Really big turnout, which is really nice.
All right. Well, I want to talk about that real quick.
Okay.
So you get that. So that was 145 for the callbacks.
Yeah.
So what was the initial turnout?
I want to say we almost broke 200, I think. I think 197 or, but then we had video submissions too, so probably broke 200 overall.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a little bit, because I'm curious as to how you handle just like a cattle call like that. You got all those people showing up, and the Redlands Bowl, that always attracts, you know, really big talent.
It does.
So I'm assuming that you had really, really talented people show up. How on earth do you start whittling the people down?
I'll start with this. You talked about people coming from all over the place. We had people flying from Florida, Texas, drive in for a 4-hour drive, and they're willing to like come stay here for the summer to be a part of the Redlands Bowl and the legendary production, like verbatim their words. So that's really, it's an honor to know that people value the quality we do, but also the history that the Redlands Bowl represents. It's 103 years old. It's kind of cool that they get to be a part of that.
That's just, that's huge that somebody would spend, you know, that kind of money out of their own pocket, get a plane ticket from another state. And plane tickets are not cheap.
Not cheap at all.
And fly all the way out here for just to be able to audition. Just not even for a guarantee, just to be able to audition.
Well, when they reach out to us, they ask if they could video submit. And the answer is yes, you could video submit. But I'm very much a person that wants to meet, greet you, see how you interact with the cast, see if you're authentic or pretending. That's very important to me. And how do you get along with everybody? Are you going to bring camaraderie, or are you going to bring division? That's a big reason. So I tell them all, no matter what state you're in, within reason, I'm like, we need to see you. So you could submit for your audition maybe. And then if you get past that stage, then you can come to our callbacks, but I need to meet and greet you. And I want to see what you got up against everybody else. We're challenging equally.
What about that show? I mean, was it the show? Was it the Redlands Bowl? Like what made them fly out?
The title of the show, I imagine, arrogantly, I'd like to say it's for legendary. But the truth is, I think it's Frozen's not been done a lot, and it's just been released. And we're probably one of the biggest venues in the area that's got the rights to do it. I mean, the bowl seats and the seats around 5,000, but people are going to be there for anywhere from 10,000 to 12,000 a night, probably. I know a lot of people are coming out for that.
You got the seats, and then you've got the area on the grass,
and then across the street by the museum and stuff, and people will sit there. I'm positive.
I've always liked that the Redlands Bowl, that was planned so well.
It's just it's awesome. Such a thing. I'd like to say it's for the community, but I think it's bigger than that. It's for whoever wants to come. And I love the idea of that. And in that legendary, we talked about this in episodes, but unity through art. I think the Redlands Bowl is a great representation of that. Doesn't matter what you believe, where you come from, you're welcome to experience art in different cultures. And I love that. I think it's such a good thing.
They really planned that well. And you know, like over 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago, I mean, I would love to... I wish that those people could still be around and just see what they built.
Yeah, to know where it's at now and what they took it from to.
Just because you look at Redlands and what a amazing, talented community. I mean, there's several other theaters around here, musicians. I mean, just all of this. And it just seems like the city really invested well in the arts for the community.
The Bowl is something very special. And they really focus on the development of kids appreciating art and culture and then growing from there. So there's a passion for it as they get older. And I don't think it necessarily encourages you just through music or stage art. It's encouraging you to do all types of art, dancing, drawing. There's a lot of encouragement. And I think that's where Legendary has a good... We team up well with the Redlands Bowl because that's our mission, too. We want to instill that change effect move into people so that they can develop and chase their dreams to the best of their ability and go for it. Before we go into about herding cattle for all those people,
yeah,
Alfonso was actually in Joseph last year as our pharaoh. I'd like to just talk about, since we're talking about the bowl a little bit, I'd like to know his perspective and opinion on the experience walking out there for the first time with 5,000 plus people. How does he feel?
That was your first time at the bowl, performing at the bowl was last year?
Right. That was my first time performing at the bowl. And the first time I had been at the bowl would have been a couple of years or the year before for the centennial celebration because I did the voiceover. And so I got to kind of see the scope of what it was. But to be on that stage, I was the pharaoh and my entrance was, I had my back upstage. And then there's fireworks that go off, and then I turn around, and the first time I saw 5,000 people, I kind of took my breath away, and I had an out-of-body experience where it was like, I've never seen that many people in my life before.
Well, you had a literal out-of-body experience?
Literal out-of-body, so I had to catch myself really quick. I have to do a number right now, the big number, and then I'm strutting down the stage, and I'm still like getting these goosebumps because it's like the adrenaline's going crazy, and all I can think is I have to control myself right now because... I'm so pumped up right now because I can feel the energy of all these people. And I'm used to, like, with Legendary, I love it because at the old theater, it was a 100-seat venue. It was very intimate, and you're right in their face. With the Bowl, you perform a little bit differently because you're performing it out, and it just goes on and on. And I like to say they're hanging off the rafters, but they're on the Mission Gable House in the distance. They're, like, hanging off the... That's what I like to say. They're hanging off of the balcony watching us. That's what it felt like.
Wait a minute. You had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Were you above yourself? Were you beside yourself? Like, where did the soul go at this moment?
Well, I was beside myself, but I was also above myself, I would say. I felt like I was above myself floating, watching it. Like, watching me, like, walk down the stage.
And then now, I'm confused. Yeah. Were you a performer or were you an audience member?
Well, I was a performer and an audience member.
You were a performer and an audience member.
Yes.
And how long did that last for?
Probably a good 5 seconds, which is an eternity, as I was walking down to start the number.
I've never heard of this happening. Yeah. This just became infinitely more interesting than anything that we're about to talk about.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But that speaks to how mesmerizing it is to be on that stage, because it's just bigger than anything you can, at least here in the Inland Empire, than you could possibly do. It's the big time.
Yeah, but how would you have explained that if you didn't get back into your body in time to perform? If Nathan would have been like, Alfonso, you missed 3 lines. I was floating above myself. I'm sorry.
I probably would have said, it's okay, don't let it happen again.
Yeah, but then can you trust that? That's not going to, you know, then what's going to happen the next time?
I don't know.
The next time he gets excited and has another out-of-body experience.
Well, it's a dated reference, but it would be the Cindy Brady when the red light goes on. I would have just stood there and just stared
stood there
until the number ended.
Yeah, it's dated. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Cindy from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Oh.
She performs and she
John's
freezes.
John's nodding his head. Mike's nodding his head. And I'm sitting at the mic going, what? Okay. Cool.
Does this happen often? Does this happen before?
You know what? I will say I've done duets before with female performers. And they'll just be singing, and I'll just be watching them, and I'm just getting lost in the song, and then it hits me like, maybe right as they're about to finish, I need to come in right now.
Well, that's not an out-of-body experience.
But it almost feels out-of-body because I don't feel like I'm me. I feel like I'm in the audience watching it. Uh-huh. And then I have to snap into it and be like, oh yeah, I'm back on.
Well, who do you feel like you are?
Yeah, I'm an audience member watching the show.
You're an audience member watching the show.
Watching the show, and then I have to snap out of it and actually be the performer in the show. So
I'm going to just check in on you now and then while you're sitting over in that orange chair to make sure that you're not actually floating above yourself or, you know, now because you know you're a big fan of the upstaging gentleman. So, you know.
Well, the truth is Mike is making jokes, but Mike's always out of body. He's never in his own body.
I'm not making a joke. Well, maybe it sounds like I'm making a joke, but I've never heard of that before.
Well, when the episode even started, it wasn't even a little bit when you started. It was like the upstaging. I was like, I listened to this in my car, and like I'm in here recording this right now. And then I snapped back to it. All right, we're back in.
That's kind of cool.
Seriously, though.
That is cool. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here. In your body or out of your body, we're happy you're here, man.
Glad to be part of this.
It's really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. Herding cattle, I'll get back to that if you want.
I do want to hear about that. We took a little diversion there.
Left at Albuquerque.
No, it was good. We got to get to know each other. Anyway, so yeah, it actually was, I'm not going to say it was an out-of-body experience because I know that would go on a 15-minute tangent, but it was really, it was epic just to be in that room with, we had probably over 200 people in the room last night because some of the kids brought parents and then the production staff was there. We probably had about 220, 250, something like that in there last night.
What are you looking for right off the bat? You see all those people, and you know that your time is limited.
You need a 60-person cast.
You need a 60-person cast, and you know your time is limited for the auditions, and so you got to whittle people down really quick. What do you look for? And I guess this can be answering my question, but also giving advice to any performers who need to go out to a cattle call. Like, you don't have a lot of time to attract the director.
To dress, to impress. You don't get that opportunity.
You just, you got to make an impression real quick.
I think the short answer, I have a little bit longer one, but I'll give you the brief answer. I think it's right when you arrive in the parking lot. Your attitude, how do you come in? I don't mean the outfits. You could wear workout clothes. You could wear, I wouldn't recommend wearing holy clothes, but that doesn't matter. I think coming in with a good attitude, when you talk to the production team right away, getting your number or you're signing in, just having a good attitude right away. Because for the first probably 20 minutes before we start, when we open the doors about half hour till, I'm watching people how they interact with each other. Are they fake? Are they phony? Do they seem like they're genuinely good people? Are they team players? Are they engaging with people? Are they sitting off by themselves? Are they more of a focused performer? Not all those are necessarily either bad. It's just different approaches on how you approach competition. Some people want to be alone. Some people get real talkative or giggly. Some people come over and hug somebody and you're like, oh, that was fake. You kind of just watch people. That's the first thing.
I read this article probably 20 years back. It was called 10 Tips to Get That Part. Mm-hmm. And it was written by some director producers, and they said something that in that article that just what you just said reminded me of the article, because they said also they watch people. Mm-hmm. When they come in, and you know, you said as soon as they get out of the car, and something about that in the article, I haven't thought about that in a while, but they were saying, you know, before the person who auditioned ever took the stage, that already formed an opinion of him.
100%.
Because they were watching him joke around with people, shoving the guy next to him, spilling his cup of coffee on mm-hmm. the floor. And it was like, oh yeah, we don't want this guy. And then he gets on the stage to audition. They've already formed a poor opinion of him.
It's a character audition. Like it's the person's character, not the character in the show. And opening a door for somebody as simple as that, which you should always do. I think that's, what is it? Chivalry? Is that the word?
It's chivalrous. Chivalrous.
Yeah, I think that should exist no matter. Open the door, like for somebody. Help them out. Give them your chair.
Or just politeness.
That's okay. That word works.
it works.
But I think that's 100% accurate as far as it goes for me. You're auditioning as soon as you get to the parking lot. You never know who's watching you. And honestly, you could ask probably 80% of the people are there. I sat outside on a bench on the corner, partly to get fresh air, but to watch people coming in to see how they're interacting. Because it's an interview for both of us. Like, I'm interviewing as well that I want to represent that we care about your time, that we're respectful to you and your talents and gifts. But also, you're interviewing right away, too, saying, I want to be around you for the next 3 months. And sometimes you can see in a group if someone's rude or condescending or whatever it may be. Or just people's traits. How do they interact? Are they going to be leaders in your ensemble? And as I say all the time, a show, no matter how big your track is, it's an ensemble piece. You matter to the whole. Without you, you don't exist. Someone's flipping a light switch on or turning it off. It matters. Yeah. So I watched that from the beginning. That's the number one thing for me. That's what I do. And usually I sign some of the production team. Hey, you guys, can you guys watch that side of the room? I'm going to be pretty busy, you know, chatting. And when I'm talking, I tell them, hey, take notes on who's being disrespectful when I'm chatting right now. When I'm talking, who's giggling? Who's not focused? Who's still on their phone?
Who's having an out-of-body experience?
Those you can't really tell. I've tried. And now knowing that he did that, I'm kind of looking back going, did I notice?
But I always find my way back.
You did. No, your performance definitely did not seem like you were out of body. So
People probably do not consider that because they go in with a certain level of talent and, maybe they got that great singing voice. Maybe they're just got great stage presence, whatever. And they probably don't consider the fact that they may have already blown it. Before they even hit the stage.
1,000%. That's definitely accurate. I'm not saying that happened last night, but I'm not saying anyone blew it, but I did watch people from the get-go. And honestly, people that I've worked with in the past that have attitudes or that are troublesome to the production team, you 100% bet I'm watching you again to make sure, oh, it was just a fluke, or, oh, we just didn't get along. 100%.
So you finalized the auditions last, or you had your audition yesterday?
We had auditions on Monday, the previous Monday, and then we had our auditions in the morning on Saturday morning from 10 to 1. Then we had callbacks from 6:30 to 10.
So now you got some interesting decisions to make.
Yeah, and usually what I do is after an audition process, I don't look at it. Like we go through, I went through the production team and I wrote down their suggestions and ideas. Mm-hmm. I put it all in a folder and I don't touch it for like a couple of days, sometimes a week, depending on timeline. So I can breathe, process, and I go back to it, look at their suggestions, and go off of conflicts that people have or scheduling issues or this part only, and then I cross people off according to that first. But what I also did this time, which I haven't always done to help kind of, I'll use the word herd, but I don't really think they're cattle, but naturally, I know they're not cattle, but I did something different this time with the bowl. I had the whole ensemble get sent a track, a cut of music that they all had to learn and sing. So I had Nolan, our MD, go up. He taught the sopranos, altos, tenors, basses, taught them individually. Then I had the whole room stand up and had them sing as one chorus. And then I had them come up in groups in the center of the stage. I had the production team and myself walk around to see who's trying to out-sing, who doesn't want to be a team player. Who's pitchy? Who's off today? Who's really like real quiet and not trying to sing? And that was a good way to go, okay, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. So it was an easy way to do that, but it didn't happen like that. But that's another way that we got to kind of make some assessments that way. So
we only have we just got the 5 minutes from John. Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to hold on to those for a few days. You're going to have a lot of cast members on the edge of their seats.
We do, and the thing is with this one, I don't announce it until like March 9th, which is still a couple weeks away. Yeah. But I needed that time because I take casting very seriously. I'm going to, in the office, probably not here, but in our lobby area, I'm going to spread out all the headshots. And then I take it very seriously because I know people pay a lot of money or work real hard to put prep work and hard work into auditioning, and I feel like I owe them that. I'll say sincerity or severity, even how serious I take it. And I lay it out there and I go through it. And it's a hard process because, you know, there's people that you do like and do care about, family members that may not make the show. And it's like, oh, I know you work so hard for this. So. Yeah.
This is interesting for me to hear this because I don't hold auditions.
I know.
I have a dinner theater company. Mm-hmm. And so we just largely use the same group over and
kind
over
of
again.
Kind of repertory in a
way. Yeah, yes. And, you know, maybe I'll bring in a new person here and there. But you know what? Of all the years, probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years I've been running it, we've never once held an audition for it. And, yeah, the company has changed and people have come and gone and moved away and, you know, and the like. And so we've changed up, but we've never held auditions. So really, really quick. Okay, so they get on the stage. They don't have too much time to impress you. Mm-hmm. Other than, you know, their singing voice, of course, they're going to get up and sing a song. What else are you looking for? In that moment, they get up on stage.
I'm looking at their presentation. What am I going to get after a couple weeks or a month of rehearsal? What are you going to give to me? And here's the answer. I don't want perfection. I want your best. If you've only got the side for a day, what is your best in a day that you can give me? I don't care if it's perfect. That's what rehearsals are for. That's when your perfect practice makes permanent, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even believe in perfect, because as soon as you reach perfect, I think you should better yourself to make a new standard of your best. I always say, do your best and do better. So I don't want them to come in there and be perfect. I want them to come in there and do their best. And you can tell. You can tell who's honing it in. And sometimes sometimes I'm pleasantly shocked. I'm like, whoa, that was all these words. That was perfect. But then you have four or five others come up there and go, wow, that was perfect. So then it comes to height, availability, looks, who's willing to take stage direction. I may tell you to balk like a chicken and lay an egg. Are you going to do that, or you go, wait, why? Well, wait, why isn't really following the director's orders. Obviously, you want to do what people feel comfortable with, but I don't really care about that. But anyway, so that's kind of what I look for. Just someone giving their best, take directions, and then how do they interact? When someone else is singing, are they applauding them? Are they fake going, great job, great job, you know, the golf clap? Or are they authentically investing in someone doing their best? So I look at the people connection matters the most to me. And then the second is, are they doing their best? And even when I coached sports, it was always, there's your ball hogs, the guys that can make threes with their eyes closed. But a lot of times, they were one of the biggest attitudes. I'd rather people that are willing to just work their butts off and do their best and be a team player and be supportive of everybody than someone that could just hit a home run every time. That's not, unless you have a great attitude and can do that. So that's kind of what I look forward to.
I missed that whole answer. I was looking at Alfonso trying to see if he was still in his
body. He was. Oh, no, I'm definitely here. I'm in my body.
I keep looking up to my right to see if he's above me. He's not. So we're good.
I guess we probably got to close this one out.
We could wrap it up and then we could just chat about what's coming up and take some questions, because I know we had some questions built up over these last 2 years, and maybe our next episode we'll dive into some of those. That'll be chill.
Yeah, we will. We're so sorry to have been gone so long. Our people in Germany, we hope you're still listening.
Come back to us, please.
But yeah, I guess, you know, takeaways from that is that's interesting. The attitude and how, what a long way the attitude goes. Yep. The positive attitude and getting up on the stage.
Even beyond your talent, it's more than just that.
Yeah. So, well, I...
Wait, we need to figure out how Alfonso can say, like, see you guys next time, and then we can, I don't know, how would you do a closeout with him in here?
First of all,
out of body Alfonso and Michael and Nathan, I don't know how we do it.
I don't know. Well, first of all, I'll just say, I wish all those people who auditioned for you well, sitting there on the edge of their seats waiting to hear the results.
Real quick, and if it doesn't work out for you, that doesn't mean you suck or aren't good. It just means you weren't right for this show for this time. It doesn't mean you can't go be it on Broadway. You probably can land it somewhere else, and we do appreciate your talents and gifts. We really do. We genuinely do.
Yeah, well, we have some exciting stuff that we're going to talk about. Maybe they could be involved in that. We got some projects to announce on the next episode, I think. So, all right, Alfonso.
Alfonso, say your goodbye, and then we'll finish it up.
All right, for the upstaging gentlemen, this is Alfonso with Nathan and Michael. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye-bye.